Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I am Mo, and I am joined once again by my co-host. He is the man with the golden voice. He's the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, we have somebody else with us, and I got to admit, Brett, no offense, but I'm more excited to talk to this person than I am to talk to you.
Yeah, makes total sense. I mean, she's a fantastic guest. She is the bassist for The Spoons. She is Sandy Horn, and we're big fans of The Spoons, so thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was great, actually. I'll just start off because I got a chance to see you when you toured with Men Without Hats and of course A Flock of Seagulls, and it was a wonderful show. And so I'm really glad. I think that was the last concert that I got to see before everything shut down. So I was really glad to be able to get a chance to see that.
Well, we were one of the last bands to go through all the casinos on the West Coast, actually. After we were in Calgary, then we were did Edmonton, and then Vancouver, and then the week later everything closed down. So other bands that were going to be coming through, like Glass Tiger and Honeymoon Suite, that we are friends with, they were like, oh man, we just lost our gig. So we were quite fortunate to finally get out there just before it all shut down.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and super fun. I love, I'm interested because when you do a show like that, I know that, and especially with Gord, like, talking about kind of bringing the 80s back right now for the night, is that something that you just kind of have to embrace?
What, to bring back the 80s?
Yeah, like, and just that, you know, so much of your popularity occurred in the 80s. I mean, you're still making amazing music now, but...
Well, it's our grounding. It's where we came from. So as much as we don't want to say, oh, we're just an 80s band, because it kind of categorizes us only in one place, even though we've continued to write music all the way along, it's still a platform for us to use, especially for younger generations that are just discovering or just starting to embrace the 80s music. So you've got a lot of brand new younger fans, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, of course, you have the new album that came out last year, New Day, New World, and I know both of us really love the album.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun to make. It's kind of a long process, because once we'd finished Static and Transmission that came out in 2011, we started continually to keep writing. But we just didn't feel we were there yet until last year to have it all completed the way we wanted it. That's the beauty of a home studio, right? I've converted my garage in my home into a recording studio, and my husband is the producer. And so we're constantly making music all the time, working with other artists that come in and so forth. But for The Spoons, it was a matter of getting Gord, getting him to come out, getting him to do stuff. It's like a long process. But we got there.
No, actually, it's interesting because Gord had said after the last album, 2011, that he wasn't going to write any more Spoons music, but it sounds like you the whole time knew better. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, you know, he says that. and then things happen, and then I'll send him some kibbles, you know, on like a MP3 of some ideas I'm working on. The next thing you know, there's another song starting to happen. So, yeah, he could say that, but... Now he's talking about other things that we're going to do. We've got another video coming out shortly for New Day, New World, the title track of the album, with everything that's going on. Even though we just put out Landing Lights, probably near the end of May, New Day, New World, because we've got to get back out there and birth a new way of life soon, right? We mm-hmm. have to. So that's what this one's going to be about.
Well, because Brett, you had that. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brett.
Okay, because I mean, you started the trilogy for sure, and I mean, and that was one of the things that I noticed. I mean, like the videos were just so like over the top and fun, and I think that you were really kind of trying things that so many bands wouldn't try nowadays.
Exactly, and we were very fortunate to hook up with Peter Sacco, the producer, because his background is more history films, documentaries, and paranormal. That's where he came from. That's his background. So he kind of, what we wanted to do for the trilogy was the first one, First and Last Time, kind of brings the audience back to the old Spoons. You saw a little flavor of Derek and Rob there. And this year's our 40th anniversary. And we might be extending it till next year. Because we had a whole bunch of stuff lined up for the summer, and Rob and Derek were going to join us for a bunch of things as well. But that's all going to be postponed, correctly. So we're probably do like Rush did, even though it was their 40th. They did it in their 41st, you know.
Makes good sense.
Yeah. So then the next video, the first video was kind of winding back in time, and we were playing Ghosts of Ourselves. And then All the Wrong Things in the Right Places was kind of like, again, going back, but instead of on the romantic traffic being on the subway, there was the alien. So All the Wrong Things in the Right Places type of thing, just playing on words. And then we have another one that we haven't gotten to yet because we can't get together, which is Beautiful Trap. And it's the third song for the trilogy. But Landing Lights was just... Gord's wife is a pharmacist, so she's frontline. My daughter's a nurse, she's frontline. And Peter Sacco's partner, she's in a nursing home. So they're all frontline workers, and we were all discussing how concerned we were. And then Peter said, I think we could put something together with Landing Lights, and if you guys can just film on your iPhones at home and send me some footage, I think I could put something together. And that's kind of how it all came together for the frontline workers.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's done on iPhones because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of work. I mean, Brett's a professional editor, so he can certainly speak about that more than I can. But I mean, I was just so impressed with the images and how it was put together. It really is a wonderful, wonderful video, and it does the job of hitting home what you're trying to say while still it not being heavy-handed. You know,
exactly.
It's very difficult, you know, to walk that line.
Yeah, especially right now, because there's so much sadness out there right now with everything going on, and everybody's anxiety levels are right through the roof. And there's so much impatience, too. People are getting really impatient. It's not anybody's fault. It just is. So just relax, get through it, breathe it, and we'll have a new breath of air soon.
Yeah,
open your windows.
Mine is open if you hear the gas station next to me at any point.
Okay.
Well, and I mean, it is a good thing that that here in Calgary we are starting to get some decent weather for a change. It was pretty rough for a while.
Well, we were. It was up to like 14 and 17 in the last week or so, and now it's snowed this morning.
Oh, so yeah. you got it from us then, okay.
Yeah. I think it's like
Calgary weather.
-1 right now outside or something.
Yeah, I'm in shorts right now, I gotta be honest. It's like 17 today.
Oh, wow, lucky you.
I mean, I'm in shorts, I can't go outside, but I'm in shorts.
Yeah, exactly. You can look, we can just like,
I can
look.
I can give them a show from the window, what the hell.
Yeah, soon we'll be in shortages of sun lamps.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was going to say that it's so great that of course being stuck inside that we have music and that we're able to kind of, you know, I think even go back. Like, I know I've been listening to a lot of music and a lot of people that I've been, you know, talking to have been listening to a lot of music. So, I mean, it's great. And I think, like, do you find that are more people talking on social media about music, do you find, or even just your friends?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of our Spoons fans, they're coming to our webpage and buying our merch to support us through this time. And, you know, can't wait to get back out there. We're going to have the best 80s party ever once we can get out there. And so Gord came up with this great idea, but I think they already did it in Germany, was a drive-in concert.
Oh,
nice.
That would be fun.
Nice. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
So
we'd have to drive a long ways to get to it, but we may have to do that, right?
Well, I think if we start it, I think there'll be a lot of other places. If you've got a big farm field or an old drive-in theater place, you know, set a stage up right in front of it, and people can, you know, do what they used to do back in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Don't bring your kids, is what you're saying?
No, you could probably bring your kids to this one.
Well, they're doing what they used to do in the 70s, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I used to work at a drive-in, and I know what they do. And it wasn't listen to music, but
Yeah, I'm sure we'd be listening this time. It's, it is such a great new album because, I guess it's 2019, so it's not quite new now, but I mean, it's still, the newest album. It's because it's what I love about it is it's definitely a Spoons album, but it's also definitely not an 80s album.
Yeah, we try to keep the essence of our sound, but also modernize it as well. And it does tell a storyline if you listen to it. We've always tried to make our albums a concept album, which a lot of artists don't do. They just say, oh, I like this song, I like that song, and they just throw it all together into, five songs, six songs, 10 songs. But we wanted to try and tell a story and make everything flow together. And First and the Last Time and Paint by Number Day, actually the exact same song.
I
I don't know.
love that. Like that's one of my favorite elements that there's just that little bit of callback and I mean especially with your singing on it too. I mean those are my favorite songs on the album.
I just figured you wanted to prove you could outsing Gordon. I mean, that's.
Well, funny enough, Paint by Number Day was partially recorded back in 2011, and I've on all our albums, I've always had like one song I get to sing. So why only one? I don't know. You have to talk to Gord about that one. But anyway, so Escape with You and Paint by Number Day were kind of recorded at the same time in 2011. And then everyone's like, oh, Escape with You fits the album better. So it got put into the archives, forgotten about. And Gord came over when we were working on the album. He says, I got this song I put together. And it's the first and last time. And I looked at Jeff, and Jeff looked at me, and I went, we already did this song. And he says, like, what? And I said, yeah. And then we pulled up Paint by Number Day. And he'd taken some of those lyrics and put them into First and the Last Time and changed the key.
Wow.
And he hadn't even realized he'd done that, right? And then I said, well, why don't we put both on? Why not?
Yeah.
They flow together. Just don't put them beside each other, but So that's kind of how that one happened. So
Oh, that's a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, it's again, just with the album, I mean, you've got so many different, I guess, oral landscapes. That seems like the best way for me to put it.
yeah. And then I started to embrace more with the slap bass, so that's why there's a little bit of funk going on in there too. So yeah.
So then how is it that you wind up recording everything? I mean, you say you got Gord down, like do you lay in the drum tracks first and then kind of build off of that or?
It depends on the song, but generally speaking, Gord will come in and just kind of lay down the ghost track of what he wants. And then between Jeff and Chris McNeil, who plays drums for us, they figure out Jeff will put down a skeleton of drums, and then we'll send the WAV file to our drummer, Chris McNeil, who plays with Glass Tiger. Then Chris will make it more realistic, drumming, whatever, however he does it on his end. Then he sends it back, and then we start chopping it. And then I put it on, I probably do about six different types of bass parts, and then he'll put it back together. Gord will come back, do his guitar, and once we feel like we've got everything, then Gord will put the lead vocal on, or me, and then I'll throw harmonies in. A lot of the times we could have up to 50 tracks for the song, and we have to go through it and go, okay, well, that's too much, or oh, that's cool, maybe just a snibble of that. So it's a lot of pasting and moving around, but Jeff Carter, my husband, has a real good ear for putting stuff together in the right places, so.
Is bass, I guess, is that your first love more so than singing?
I guess because I do it more than I do the singing part, but I've always wanted to be on the stage. When I first saw Wizard of Oz when I was about 4 years of age, I went, I want to do what she's doing. I want to be that for Judy Garland. And I just knew I wanted to be on the stage. And by the time I was five, I was a Buster Brown. Remember the clothes Buster Brown? Yeah, I used to be a Buster Brown girl modeling at little fashion shows and malls. And then starting to get more into plays and so forth. And it was when I was about 10, I picked up the acoustic guitar just on my own. And then I picked up the trumpet when I went into high school. And that's how I met Gord, because he was a saxophone player in the high school band and I was trumpet. And Spoons formed out of the high school band.
Yeah, I understand that you heard him singing or playing guitar or something on a bus, and you were also singing and playing guitar on a bus. And
We were on a trip to Armprior, Ontario to play for another high school, because that's what you used to do back then. You used to go and then billet at another high school's families, and then they come over and they do a concert and so forth. And on our trip to Armprior, I didn't really know Gord very well because he didn't talk a lot back then. He was very shy. Even though we sat beside each other in the orchestra, I was third trumpet, he was first sax. I pretend I was lost and go, I don't know where I am. And he just point. Okay, that's not helpful. Words would be good. But then on a trip to Armprior, Ontario, I brought my acoustic guitar and he brought his, unannounced that both of us were going to do it. And I was at the front with the girls doing folk songs and Olivia Newton-John and that kind of thing. And he was in the back doing Robert Fripp and early Genesis riffs. And eventually the guitars got to the back of the bus. And I swear these were the first words he really ever said to me. Here, just play the root notes so I can do some lead guitar.
Smooth talker.
Yeah, that's the way to pick a girl up, I tell you.
Apparently it worked. You know, but that's the thing about him, though, is he has a, like, I imagine if you're sitting there on the bus and you listen back and you're going, who's singing? You know, because he's like, his voice is so unique and well, it manages to resonate in a way that's romantic and yet also thoughtful. It's a really unique voice that he has.
Yeah. He also, being that his background is German, he was born in Vancouver because his parents, his mom and dad, were over doing business, and he had been transferred over to Vancouver for business. And then at 1 year of age, they went back to Germany, and he was there till he was 10 years of age. So he didn't learn to speak English as his first language. It was German. So when he got here, then he had to learn English, and that's why he's got a little different pronunciation to some of his words, because it wasn't exactly his teens where the German accent stuck, but it was enough that it made him sound like he was from Europe all the time, especially when he sings.
Well, that's the romance part right there that you're talking about, Mo.
Yeah, well, it is. It's, you know, it's just got that tenure. It gives the Spoons a unique sound, and then you manage to vocalize with him so beautifully, which is not something that I think with a voice like his would necessarily be easy.
It has had its challenges from time to time, but I have a lot of air in my voice, whereas he's very straightforward. I can put vibrato in, and he doesn't have much of a vibrato. And when I layer my voice, my first layer will be kind of thin sounding, but once I start layering, it almost becomes an Enya style synth sound, especially when I get into more and more layers. I'm currently working on some of my own solo stuff that's down that genre. So
feel free and pick up the guitar and play some. I guess there's not one handy, Brett.
Not on hand. Maybe next time.
Now, you talk about your husband producing the album, and so do you kind of hang around when like afterwards? Like, do you want to listen in and that kind of thing?
We have a process where I do my parts, and then he'll say, "Okay, go away, go do whatever you want to do, make dinner, whatever." And an hour or two later, he'll say, "Okay, come and have a listen. What do you think of this?" Because if I sit there and hover over him, he's not going to put his magic in. He's going to feel hovered. I think anybody would feel that way, you know. It's like a mechanic working on a car. You don't sit there and watch your mechanic work on your car, right? So
you don't. I put some popcorn and a big... Anyways, no.
Well, he doesn't like to have any opinions till he feels like he's got something going in a direction. You know what I mean?
I absolutely get that, yeah.
Does he ever make the first round and it's just like, Sandy's boosted way up. We got more Sandy singing, more bass.
No, he's tasteful. He knows where I should, if we're working on our own stuff, it's different. But if it's Spoon stuff, he kind of knows where Gord likes things to be. So he doesn't push the envelope too much on him in that regards. But several songs like Landing Lights originally has four different recordings of it, asked the direction. At one point, I was going to be singing it. And then Gord was like, well, no, let's go back to me singing it, but you sing the silhouette over top of me. So that's how the song ended up being the way it is in Landing Lights.
What is the your upcoming solo work? What's kind of the difference between its music and the Spoon's music?
Well, let's see. How would I describe it? Well, my one song I have is, it's kind of has a little bit of a jazz to it, but I wouldn't say I'm a jazz player. So has a bit of a jazz feel to it, but also an Enya feel to it. I don't know if you can imagine the combo of that, but that's... Okay.
Well, I know we look forward to hearing it when you finally release it, and I'm sure you have lots of time to work on it right now.
Well, that's the other thing is we've got hard drives after hard drives of material that we've worked on throughout the years, and then you forget about them, right? Whatever happened to, oh, I can't find that one. Where did it go? But we've been sitting in the evenings, especially, you know, having a little cocktail going, okay, let's have a listen to this, you know, drive and see what's on this drive. And we'll go, oh, yeah, and then we'll move that over to another file. So we're finally sitting down to go through our archives of kibbles and bits, as I call them, of things, right? Because nothing is finished. Well, there's a few finished, but most of them aren't finished. They're just kind of skeletons of formations of songs.
You got to have the moments then where you go, aha, why did I not do something with that then? You know, where you're like, that's pretty good. You know, I mean, that's kind of, it's going to be neat. Can you find yourself when you listen to a song, it's, you know, some kibbles and bits from quite a while ago, can you still remind or find yourself remembering how the song first originated, you know, its genesis?
I tend to remember, I don't remember when I see the song title, but as soon as it starts playing, I go, oh yeah, I remember doing that. Okay. And then trying to refigure it out again and going, okay, well, now maybe I can add this to it because the inspiration wasn't there then. It was just a kibble. And sometimes my husband will just hit record and I'll just jump all over the place with a whole bunch of different ideas and it'll be one long 20-minute montage song. And then he'll go, okay, well, that's junk. Throw it out. That's good. Keep that.
Is it kind of important then to be able to remember, you know, the roots of it, to be able to build off of that? Or is it just about the song?
It's just more about the idea, as long as I can go back and remake it. How did I do that again? It's more like that. What was I doing there? Why would I put that together? Well, that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's moments that you're like, oh, now I know what to do with this.
Yeah, exactly. And my husband's working on a virtual book right now, and it's kind of like... planetarial, meaning there's a whole bunch of different planets and universes that are all working together in the future. And he's written music to go along with it as it changes chapters. It has music and it has a little bit of a kind of cartoon video to it. So it kind of presets the next chapter up. So I've done pretty much all the vocals and stuff. I've also taken up the stand-up electric bass and play with a bow, so it's got a lot of really neat tones and stuff going on.
Is that hard to like pick up? Like, I mean, we know that you can play bass, so is it hard to kind of learn to extend on the bass, like to play a stand-up bass, to, you know, to add the bow, those kind of things?
It's definitely a curve. but it was an interesting curve because I play differently. It's taught me to play differently. Because when I play the electric bass, I tend to go in one direction. But when I'm playing the upright or I'm using the bow, I play completely different. And it's just because I've introduced myself to the instrument, and it just makes you create and write differently. Just as if I went to a piano and wrote a part on the piano, it wasn't written by the bass, so I'm going to approach it completely differently.
And then I guess even for learning any instrument, like playing the piano, that kind of thing, like, do you find that having an aptitude on one instrument does make it easier to learn another instrument just because you understand music?
Oh, definitely in that regard. But I find it a little strange, and you can talk to guitar players and piano players and piano players and guitar players, that with the guitar bass, you're playing like this, right? And a piano, you're playing like this. But somehow, I can't get my bass clef to work very well when I'm on the piano. And I'm like, why is that? And it's the same thing for piano players to try and play the guitar. You know, it's kind of a little, it's one of these things, I guess.
It's funny, you know, I remember somebody once describing that to me saying, the golf swing and the baseball swing are so completely different. If you're good at one, you can't do the other. Maybe it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, I mean, with it being in a musical, you know, I mean, your husband being involved, like, is that kind of what you talk about during the day? Is it kind of like when you're just hanging around, is it so much talk about music? I mean, obviously there's day-to-day things as well, but I would think music dominates the conversation.
Not throughout the whole day, but definitely throughout the day, there'll be something with music we'll have to do. I'll say, oh, I've got to do this online. Can you help me with this? I got to go do that. Like, you know, he's the technical guy. Don't ask him to hang a picture.
We all have our strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
I guess your daughter did some background vocals on the album as well.
Yes, my daughter Alexis, she's the one who's a nurse, has an excellent voice. I mean, she can sing like Adele. Her voice is so powerful, and she plays piano. She was going to get into the music industry. She was going that way, but then she realized the roller coaster ride that was ahead of her, and she's like, yeah, maybe I better do something a little more solid and do that on the side. So that's what she's been doing. So she did some of the backgrounds on Paint by Number Day with me, and she's helped me on my solo stuff quite a bit.
Well, you'll have to give her our thanks for being a, you know, first line person right now, because we appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, you know, the music industry and like you say, the roller coaster, the up and down element of it. So, I mean, did you encourage her to get into it, or did you encourage her, or kind of leave it up to her?
No, she did it completely on her own. There's a funny little story about her, because I had a band back in the early 90s called Amaris, and it was all female, with a cello, piano. I was playing acoustic guitar and layers of vocals, like an Enya style. And at 3 years of age, she was on the album. She started singing when she was a baby. She used to sing herself to sleep. So she's always been singing. You know, she'd be singing in the back seat of the car to a song, and then suddenly she'd just disappear and be gone, you know? She'd just be going,
That'd be it. Speaking of roller coaster rides, you have the career in music, but you also did a little bit of acting. And the reason I have to bring this up is because Brett and I, on the We Talk Podcast Network, we have several shows. And one of them highlights kind of small movies that we love and actors that that we love that maybe aren't consistently in the best movies, but we love them. And one of that is Cameron Mitchell. And I guess you were in a movie with him we saw when we were looking you up. What was Cameron Mitchell like? Did you have much interaction with him?
Just a little bit. Not so much, to be honest with you. I only had a few of my scenes, and they did it in a couple of days, so I didn't get to know a lot of the cast really well, unfortunately. I didn't get to be there for everything that was being shot, so...
We can't find that movie, so you know, we're trying to find it.
Oh, Listen to the City, you can't find it?
No, Listen to the City, we can find it. It's the other one. Was it Something Gold, Race for the Gold, or that was with Cameron Mitchell? It lists you on the IMDb, at least, as being in it. Is it not you?
I don't. What's the name of the movie?
Just give me one moment. Let me find it here. And Brett, meanwhile, ask another question. We'll come back to this.
Well, I mean, in talking about acting, I know, like, and of course, I mean, both you and Gord are acting in the music video. So is that kind of something that you try to pursue at some point? If it comes up, it happens, or?
Definitely if it comes up, but it's not like I'm out there going, oh, I want to be in a movie per se. It isn't my extreme forte, I don't think. But right now I'm also doing an 8-series live stream Saturdays at 7 p.m. for the Oshawa Music Awards. You know, the Junos got canceled. Well, Oshawa, because the Durham region is quite large here in Ontario, and they've got a huge music scene, so they actually formed their own music awards for the Durham region. called the Joshua Music Awards, and I'm hosting it every Saturday at 7 p.m. And each week we give out a couple of awards, because it was supposed to actually be in Oshawa on April 4th, but everything got shut down. So they found it as an opportunity to help the artists get out there, have a moment. So we do an interview with the artist. We play their video and their song, probably more exposure than they would have if we'd done it just for one night.
No, yeah, that's a great concept. I, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, there's of course a learning curve for a lot of people to understand how to transition from regular online usage to like, oh, we've got to live stream everything. But I think that as we start to get past that learning curve, we're going to see a lot of things like that are really neat and can really help out a lot to these artists, because I know that there is such a huge problem with lack of press, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And this has put us at a new form and a new platform. The only unfortunate thing right now is you can't play live together as a band because there's that in sync problem. So playing together is like, you know, a shoe in a dryer.
Well, it's like you almost need to play together or play, record it all, and then have somebody, you know, like mix it together and then play that out for people at a specific time.
Yes, I know, but we want to do it like we're doing right now. So all four of us, and we're just playing in front to each other, but it won't happen because we tried it and it was delay, and it was just awful.
Yes, and ideally music sounds good, not awful.
I have found the movie. You're listed on IMDb as the fourth lead in a movie with with Cameron Mitchell called Go for the Gold.
Wow, I'll have to look that up. I don't
19,
actually...
1984.
1984, Go for the Gold?
Yes, and your character was named Trish Palmer.
For the Gold. Oh, wow.
So,
I that's like really lost in my archives somewhere. Unless it's another Sandy Horn. I don't. And I'm the fourth person?
Yes, apparently. Yes, the same. Lists you in the credits just after, you know, Listen to the City. And yeah, it's so somebody took credit for your name and all your hard work. That's not fair.
That's not fair. I'm going to have to go look this up because I do not remember this at all.
Well, that's too bad because we were just hoping for a story about the actor Cameron Mitchell. Just make something up about him.
Okay.
Well, back to the music. Now,
one of the things, like you talk about, you know, early in the interview, you talked about just kind of being friends with the other bands like Last Tiger and stuff like that. So, you know, what is the Canadian music community like? Is everybody kind of friends with each other in that regard?
I know quite a few. I don't know everybody. I could say probably I've met most of the artists, like Burton Cummings. We worked with him a couple of New Year's ago and... he's a great guy. Obviously, we work with Glass Tiger from time to time, Men Without Hats. The little trio that we've done as the 80s outfit with us, Spoons, and Flock of Seagulls, us, Men Without Hats, and Flock of Seagulls, it's been a lot of fun. You know, there isn't any, like, egos flying around like, oh, I'm better than you or whatever. The way it used to be back in the 80s, we all kind of had attitudes like, oh, look at them. Oh, look at them. You know, the big hair and the guy liner and everything else. But it's not like that anymore. Everyone's down to earth as far as I've met so far. You know, Sass Jordan, Lee Aaron, Jan Arden. Everyone's really down to earth. Like, yeah, we were rock stars, whatever.
Well, and that was one thing I noticed at the concert was that people were because I was very close, we were in the first row, and so people were like just off to the side of the stage, and you could see the other bands watching, like the other bands play, and it definitely did seem like kind of a family atmosphere.
Oh, definitely. Well, Kevin, the drummer for Flock of Seagulls, has this thing where he throws a stick from the side of the stage to whoever's backstage, and then you throw it back to him, and he plays back, and he'll grab it and play back into like that, and then he'll throw it, and then you throw it back.
Wow, so
that's funny little games we play.
the things the audience doesn't know that's going on. That's insane.
And we'll put up signs going, you know, do you want a beer? And you hear, like, you see this.
How did that tour wind up coming about then? Because especially when you talk about A Flock of Seagulls, because they're, I mean, I know Gord plays with them, so.
Well, the connection, well, it goes back further. It actually goes back to 1982. There's a picture of the original Flock of Seagulls and us together at the Masonic Temple in Toronto, where we played together back in 1982. So we actually met them back then. And then we met them again. Remember the Pepsi challenge where mm-hmm. there was that guy with Mike Score's hairdo, you know, going back to the 80s. So we were included as a surprise band in the Toronto area for the Pepsi challenge. And so we reunited then. But then it was only about four years ago, we were playing a benefit for Ronald McDonald House. And Mike Score couldn't bring up his whole band, but he was invited to play. So he said, well, if the Spoons learn like half an hour of your tunes, will you get up and play for Ron McDonald House? So we went on first, and then Mike came in as a surprise guest, and we'd learned up, you know, half an hour worth of his material. And he really liked Gord's guitar sounds, very 80s sounds. He hadn't heard that since way back in the 80s, because anybody he's used hasn't been able to get the exact sound. So he said to Gord, if it doesn't interfere too much with the Spoons, do you want to play guitar for us? So there is another guitar player they do use when we have Spoons shows. So we do try and make it work. So yeah, that's how that came together.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, so then we took it to Feldman, our agent, and said, well, why don't we put an 80s package together? And then they said, they went to the casinos and they said, well, they'd like to try and put another third band on. And that's when the Hats came on board.
So it's a completely silly question, but since you mentioned the hair, 1980s hair, how long would that take to do? Like, I look at some of those hairstyles and I think, how many hours to get that to look like that? So perfectly.
Well, from start to finish, if you just washed your hair that day, at least for me, I'd be an hour and a half.
Wow.
But there's a but, that the product Joico product, the heavy gel stuff that we used back then, and ice mist, you could go a couple of days and just fluff your hair up and just twist it and put a little hairspray in and make it big again without having to wash your hair. So then it would only take you half an hour to get ready as opposed to an hour and a half. You know, you got that little flat spot when you wake up in the morning, you just go flip, flip, flip.
Nice. You know, it's something I kind of miss, actually, that music had that kind of color. And also the experimentation, you know, that you guys felt freedom to do back in the day, that I don't know that artists feel the same, that they have the same, you know, opportunity to experiment now.
Yeah. In many ways, between clothing, sharing of clothing, like guys wearing girls' clothes, girls wearing guys' clothes, you know. but we refer to the 80s as 10 years of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
We could dress up every day with no problem and no one would stare at you.
Yeah, everybody looked like they were in a band.
Yeah.
But also creatively, when you're creating the music, that just, yeah, like I say, that it, you know, that, like I say, you had a freedom. There was a sense of different styles had a chance to still find an audience. But I don't know that exists now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I don't know if it has to do with maybe the fact that so many things can be put into loops and they get stuck in a loop. You get stuck in a loop, so to speak, with processing of recording and drums and so forth. Because we didn't have that. We just had to play it live all the time. Whereas if a lot of bands now, they'll have so much in their stuff that when you take it down to the rawness of naked, they can't play it. They're unable to physically play it. So to me, a song is when you can actually physically play it from start to finish. You know, some bands are just so dependent on their background stuff that when you say, okay, just play on the acoustic guitar, that's it. Or just play acoustic guitar and bass. A lot of them can't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess it's also telling that nowadays it's more of a singles than ever industry, you know, because people can go and just spend a dollar and buy the single, you know, or just listen to the single anytime they want on a YouTube or whatever, right? Whereas, you know, so it's not the same.
Yeah. And in this day and age, especially when we're locked down, everyone's listening to music. Everyone looks for it for free, but you forget that the artist had to put hours and hours and hours so that you could go, wow, I love this song, you know? Mm-hmm. And yet they don't want to pay for it. We sit there and go, well, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
it's
true. And that's
some of the bands now, they rely on the touring and the merchandise sales more than the album sales, you know?
Yeah, for definitely.
And that's difficult here.
Well, and back in the 80s especially, they had record stores, so you weren't allowed to sell your hardware, being your LP or CD or cassette, at the shows, because it had to be sold through the record store. That was the process. You could sell T-shirts, you could sell hats and stickers and whatever else. You just couldn't sell the hard copies back in the 80s. You had to go through the record stores, but now the record stores are next to none. So it's all online. So now physical copies, we have vinyl now as well as CDs. And people love just having something physical in their hand, mm-hmm. which is awesome.
And it also, you know, allowed for songs that are maybe more obscure to still become fan favorites more so than nowadays, where I don't know if they even get to hear some of the more, you know, like I was mentioning to Brett, my favorite Spoon song is Candy Apple, which is, you know, one of your best known songs, but I just love it. It just makes me want to dance. So
please don't do that anymore.
I'm sorry. But you know, it's something that's, again, lost, that people don't even get a chance to hear more, maybe some of the different work and the different things. So again, it becomes more difficult to experiment if people are only going to hear what your single is anyways.
Exactly. I know a lot of, even my kids don't often dig deep into an artist. They make, oh, I love this new artist, but they'll just hear that one song. They won't dig in and say, well, what else are they doing? Mm-hmm. It's a very instant reality out there right now. The demand is just instant, and it's constantly changing. So we wouldn't normally think about putting another video this soon after we just put one out 3 weeks ago, but it's that instant. Everybody wants quick change and movement, and everything's instant on Instagram and platforms like this, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, and that's the thing, you need to keep your name out there, and also especially in this kind of time, it's best, because if your name's out there, then the Spoons are forefront and more people will hopefully drive to the merchandise and that kind of thing and be willing to support you, especially right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we are really looking forward, as I say, to the next, you know, next video. And any idea then how long it's going to be?
I think they're shooting for the middle of May. So about another 3 weeks from now. We're just putting it all together right now and collecting stuff in and trying to sort through it all right now. And again, it's going to be done by Peter Sacco.
All right. And Brett, did you have any other questions? We've taken quite a bit of Sandy's time.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean,
much fun talk. What else are we going to do, right?
Listen to music, talk about music. There you go.
Listen to so much music. It's funny, you know, it is a chance to discover the bands that you haven't listened to for a while, or you know, new stuff. It's funny what I've been listening to, you know. I mean, going all over the map style wise you know, I've been listening to everything from, you know, Riverside Traveling Blues from the 30s to you know, modern rock and stuff from the 80s, that all over the place, and it's that much I've enjoyed quite a bit.
Yeah. Music makes the world go round. It's the universal language. It's something everybody knows, right? Yeah. Where would we be without music?
Probably pretty miserable, but... So, Sandy, then, what are you listening to?
Oh, geez. Actually, I've only been listening to my own stuff and working on stuff, because, to be honest with you, I haven't been sitting back and going, oh, let's listen to this song. Like I said, we've been going evenings through the archives of many hard drives of stuff, and that's kind of our thing to do, is listen to all our old kibbles and bits and what can we do with this, and moving, organizing, because we've always wanted to do, get things organized, and another project comes in or another artist comes in, or we're working with them and we never get to our stuff. So we've kind of taken this as an opportunity to discover ourselves.
Yeah. How many hours do you think worth of material do you have?
between the stuff I've worked on, between the stuff Gordon and I have worked on, and the stuff that Jeff has worked on solo, because he's a piano player, I'm going to say weeks worth of material.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll just put it all up line, yeah, online. We'll listen to it.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you actually have similar, like, you and your husband have similar musical taste?
I guess in some regards. I mean, we both have a great appreciation for all genres, and in its own amounts, you know. I played in an industrial band between Spoons and coming back to doing more Spoons, called Industrial Arts. So I can go super, super heavy, or I can go right to playing the stand-up bass and sound more like a choir. So
there must have been some artists out there that you toured with, worked with, or something that you didn't achieve the fame that you think they deserve, that were really, really good, that we should have checked out. Is there anybody who comes to mind?
Top of my head. I'm just trying to think of off the top of my head by their names. We had many, many bands open for us in the 80s, and I can't remember their names, but that should have cracked the market. We always wondered, why did we crack the market and somebody else didn't, when we thought, gee, that's a great song. But a lot of it has to do with the right place at the right time and the right people, you know. And you can have equivalent bands of same value sound-wise, but if, you know, your cards aren't played in the right direction, you don't make the right decisions at the right time, then it'll change the whole shift of where things are going to go, I guess.
I think probably the problem was they spent an hour and 15 minutes on their hair and you spent an hour and a half. And that was, I think that was the difference right there.
Yeah, you gotta be willing to spend the time to get the success. That's the key.
Yeah. Well, I remember way back the beginning when Nova Heart first came out, we were playing a place in Cambridge called Ballinger's, and it was just starting to climb the charts. And we opened for, oh geez, who was it? It was an 80s band. Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head. They were obviously ahead of the game more than we were, and we were opening for them. And afterwards, a guy came backstage and said, I really like that new song that you guys are covering. I don't know who did the song, but I sleep in your overalls.
Oh.
And we're like, sleeping? You're talking about Nova Heart? Yeah, that's it. Well, it's our song, and it's all, I'll sleep in your Nova Heart, not sleep in your overalls.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that truly belongs on one of those great misheard lyrics. You know.
Yeah, I actually think that now the next album or your soul, you have to have a song called that. Like just like a 1 minute hidden track at the end or something, just as a shout out, because that's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, we've got a few funny road stories, I'll tell you. Coming into Sheraton Hotel in Halifax, just came in. It's like 11 o'clock at night, and there's a piano player in the lobby, you know, doing what they do at hotels. And then he sees us, and he snaps his fingers, and he goes, and it comes back again, those old emotions. Hey! We're like, oh, no. We then suddenly named the song Moldy Oceans.
Oh, Moldy Oceans. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Great story.
It takes a special person to go on tour and to experience all of the insanities of being on tour, I'm sure.
Yeah, and generally only being the only female on the road with all guys, all road crew, everything. After a while, they forget that there's a girl in the band, and they just start talking the way guys talk. And I'm just like, I'm right here.
Oops. It's a compliment, you know, just one of the guys.
Yeah, you don't count, Sandy. Oh, all right then.
Thanks for that. Well, Sandy, we've had such a wonderful time with you, and we totally appreciate you coming on the show. And so we want to give you the chance to tell everybody where to find the spoons and where to find you.
Ah, the spoons. Well, if you want to get us by email, you can get us at spoonscanada@gmail.com. And our webpage, if you're looking for our merch or videos, you can go to YouTube or you can go to our website, which is spoonsmusic.com. And you can follow us on Facebook. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
Twitter and the Monkey Man. Yep, that's right.
And specifically the Landing Lights video, I hope people go check out one more time kind of the message behind that video, if you would.
It's to all those that are on the front line, all those that have to walk out there every day and face the pandemic that we're in, putting their lives on the line so the rest of us can stay home and be safe. Someone has to do it, and they've chosen to do it, and we can never be more grateful. It's to firefighters, it's to paramedics, it's to grocery store people, obviously all medical staff and pharmacists, because without you guys, we're toast.
The rest of us are in isolation and we're lonely, but it's easy to forget the undue stress that just doing their jobs is in danger for these people that's there, and it's important to take the time to thank them.
Yeah, and my daughter, thank goodness, but last week was a huge scare for the family because she wasn't well, she was ill, and she was being tested. And of course, they say it takes 24 hours. No, it doesn't. It still takes 5 days to 7 days to get the results. And she finally came back negative. She has pneumonia instead. Yay!
Oh, yay! Oh, that's
what would a mother ever say? I'm so happy my daughter has pneumonia.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, and we
our best wishes to her and everybody else that you know that's touched by this.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Thank you, Sandy. All the best. Yes.
See you soon, hopefully.
For sure, absolutely. Look forward to seeing you again.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye now.
Bye. Doesn't matter where we come from.
get bounced around in and out of love. The clouds will hold us up when nothing else we got is good enough. Landmines will guide us in through the night, back to where we started from, where we fly. Just as long as we get back with our feet on the ground again, with our feet on the ground again. Landmines who got us home, back to where we belong. Doesn't matter where we come from. Landmines who got us here. Doesn't matter where we begin, as long as we end up here like this again, like this again, here like this again.